Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Happiness Habits Transformation Podcast, the place to discover the happiness habits that inspiring women have used to transform their daily routines, bringing them clarity, peace, and joy. I'm your host, Michelle Reeves, former life coach and author of The Happiness Habits Transformation. In today's episode, I chat all things happiness habits with Lucy Hutchinson, co-owner of Any Little Thing Limited, a home help service for the elderly, an author, podcast presenter of the Ultimate Mums Club, and mum to four-year-old Sebastian. Lucy is a contributor to the second edition of my book, The Happiness Habits Transformation, and she and her business partner were clients of mine when I ran my coaching business. It was so lovely to have her on the show, sharing the amazing journey that she's been on and the lessons she's learned. In our conversation today, you'll learn the importance of being surrounded with positive people who support your goals and intentions, removing habits that don't serve us, as well as adding positive habits to our daily routines, being mindful of what you tune into in your day and starting the day the right way to set yourself up for success, time blocking and planning ahead as a small business, and why just having a list of tasks makes you less productive, asking questions as part of your planning to overcome procrastination, and looking backwards to lay a positive path for the future. But before we get into the interview, I've got some exciting news, because when this podcast is released on the 30th of November 2022, it'll be just one day before the cover reveal for the second edition of the book. I'm so excited. I can't wait to share the new cover design with you. And we'll also be announcing the pre-order link for an exclusive book bundle, which will be released on the publication date in January, including a signed copy of the book and some special goodies from me. For more details, make sure you're following me on Instagram at Michelle Reeves Writes and my YouTube channel, The Happiness Habits Transformation, where I'll be doing the announcements. As always, you'll find the links and details for today's show and all the other shows in this series at my website, michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. Okay, back to today's interview with Lucy. So I'm here today with Lucy Hutchinson, who I cannot wait to have this conversation with. Lucy and I have known each other for a while, and I know that Lucy has some fantastic tips and experience of implementing these kind of habits in her life. So I'm not going to do any introduction. Lucy, you go ahead. Welcome so much to the show. And why don't you just start off by giving us a bit of background about you and your work and your life, and some of the challenges that you've had to overcome?
Of course. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for you and the new podcast. I think we've known each other, it's got to be about 3 or 4 years now, hasn't it? Surely. No, slightly less than that. And we met Michelle through some coaching that we booked with her for our business, Any Little Thing, which is a home help business for the elderly and vulnerable. It is, believe it or not, 6 years old in December. I can't quite believe it myself. Yeah, I know. And it's taken us a long time, it feels, to get to where we are today. And it's definitely been a roller coaster. So a bit of background on me. I have pretty much always chosen a job that I love and enjoyed, rather than the one that has provided the pennies, shall we say. So I come from a background of care, working in the care industry. I've had a couple of breaks in between where I've thought, no, actually, I need to earn a bit more money, and I've broken away. And then I've always come back. So I worked as a bank nurse for the NHS for a bit. And I've also worked privately in households with people or young adults with learning disabilities and physical disabilities. So I think it's pretty safe to say that I speak for both of us, my business partner and I, but we both enjoy what we do because we've always gone back to it. And we noticed that there was a massive gap in the market at the time for covering the elderly's wants. All their needs were covered, but their wants were not. And the elderly are expected to live in their own home for longer now. They are sort of, for want of a better phrase, they are chucked back out into the world after being in hospital, and their needs and wants, they need to be covered, obviously, so that they can be enabled and empowered to live in their own home. So we started the business with not many care companies doing the same thing as us. And now a lot of care companies encompass what we do into their services. And we always say that's never a bad thing, because there are a lot of, you know, the elderly population is large, and they will always need help and support. So we say the more people that do it, the better. But yeah, along the way, we have learned how to do things the right way and how to do things the wrong way. We have obviously much benefited from the coaching that you provided us a couple of years back now, Michelle. And the business is going from strength to strength, and we have started to franchise the company. But yeah, it's all very exciting. We very much love what we do, and it's definitely been a roller coaster of a journey, shall we say.
And your journey is so, I find it so inspiring, Lucy, because so many people do a job that brings in the money, but they, frankly, let's say they hate it. So they come home every day and they're like, I hate my job. I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I wish, you know, they live for the weekends. They live for the holidays. But you have such a lot of passion. Well, you both do. You both have such a lot of passion for what you do and so much empathy for your clients and their families. And I love that that is at the heart of what you do and the heart of your business. But I know you've had a lot of challenges that you've had to overcome as part of that journey. And I'd love to investigate just a little bit about that. So what kind of challenges have you had to kind of use habits or some kind of habit strategy to help you overcome, sort of habits at work or at home or personally?
I think if we go way back to when I was younger, you know, my parents, I think they've done a pretty good job of bringing me and my sister up. Parenting's a hard job, isn't it? But it was very much sort of, you need to get a good job and you need to earn good money to be successful in life and to do this and to do that, you know, to have what you want and you need in life. And that has reared its ugly head on and off over the years. That's probably been one of my biggest challenges, not just through what my parents have said. That's actually evolved and changed since then. They're very proud of what both me and my sister do. But you do still hear that as you get older, you know. So I think biggest challenge is sort of not listening to outside sources, also being sensible, because obviously you have to live life and you have to be able to afford the things that you do and want to do. So there's an element of being sensible about it, but you have to surround yourself with positive people and you have to keep your goals in mind, your vision in mind. And I suppose I just look at everything that I've done in the past as a massive learning curve. When you're younger, you don't really realise how much life experience has an effect on you, but it really does. And I'm quite an opportunist as well. So if an opportunity comes up that I'm interested in, that fits in with what I'm doing or what I'm interested in, then I will take it if I can at the time, if I can afford it. So my head's been the problem, the main challenge. And along the way, I have had a couple of opportunities, both business opportunities and personal learning opportunities, where I have doubted myself and I've thought, oh, well, it didn't work last time. You know, how and why is it going to work this time? And I still have that now sometimes with any little thing. And I also sort of run a support group for mums and I think, why am I doing this? You know, why? No one's listening. No one's watching. And you have to work on it all the time, but I think your mind is such a powerful thing and it is heavily influenced by the people around you. So if you are not surrounded by positive people that support you, then find those people. And it doesn't mean that the people that are less supportive are any less important. They might just have their own anxieties surrounding what you're doing and they may be intimidated by what you do in a good way, I suppose, if that's a possible thing. But that is probably one of the biggest challenges. And even my other half sometimes, he is supportive most of the time. But then I think from a protection point of view, he might say, well, are you sure about doing that? Have you got enough time to do that? Can you afford to do that or not do that? So it's all about sort of really trying hard to not listen to negativity and be positive as much as you can.
I think that's really interesting as well, Lucy, because one of the things, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about, you know, the habits that people can add to their lives, because, you know, there are lots of habits that can help us to overcome challenges. But, you know, what you've identified there is a really key point, which is that there are also habits that we have in our lives that do not serve us. So negative thinking is a habit. You know, our brains do go to that place of negativity so much quicker than to positive thinking. You know, we're kind of hardwired to go to that place of fear, and we have to overcome that. So what are some of the ways that you kind of help yourself to overcome that negative thinking?
Getting up early and starting my day with something positive. Mm-hmm. So either yoga, meditation, or just simply sitting down and planning all of the brilliant things that are going to happen that day. And I've always been quite good, maybe it comes part and course of what we do, but I've always been quite good at being positive, whereas other people in my life that are quite close to me, they are always glass half empty. So I'll always try and be glass half full. So the way I look at it is that you're not starting your day, or you're not approaching something with that positivity, with that grounding, or with just simple gratefulness exercises, then you're not really setting yourself up for a good day. You're already starting on the bad foot. So I do find that starting your day with some kind of positivity exercises, you know, waking up with the gratefulness exercise, if you haven't got the energy to do the yoga, or you might fall asleep again if you do the meditation. It's just finding what works for you. But yeah, I love those things. I love doing that in the morning. It just makes me feel so energized. But as I said, I have become a little bit lazier when it comes to that, because I have a 4-year-old that keeps me very busy.
And, so, you hit on a really important point there, which is, I mean, first of all, love the whole getting up early, having the space in the day for you. I absolutely love doing that. There's nothing I like better than being up the first in the house when it's quiet before chaos descends. and I love that little bit of space and grace in my day, whether it's, like you say, for meditation, or if I'm journaling, or a little bit of exercise, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. It can just be, you know, sitting and having a cup of tea and just reading in quiet, whatever it is, a little bit of some part of the day for yourself. So key. But I think what I wanted to pick up on is that whole thing about, you know, that feeling that we have that we're lazy and for not doing it. But there's so much pressure on parents, isn't there? There's so much pressure on us as mums to have this kind of perfect Instagram life that we see all the time. And how much do you think sort of unrealistic expectations kind of play into some of that negative thinking?
Well, like you said earlier, we're only human, aren't we? And I think that negativity does seep in, and it doesn't matter where it comes from. But I also run a support group, as I mentioned earlier, for mums on Facebook, the Ultimate Mums Club. Alongside the podcast, which I'm relaunching soon. You'll be pleased to hear, Michelle.
Yes.
And the common thing that comes up is doubt in their minds and lack of confidence. And I think we live in a world now that is very heavily run by social media. And it doesn't matter, even in my group, you know, I can say it how it is, say how my day's gone, and be completely honest. And it's very nice. You have sort of like the caring people that come and say, well, I hope you're okay. And that's lovely. That's really lovely. I would never, ever deter that. That's lovely. But the whole point is that I'm trying to sort of put across to people that I'm normal too. This is normal. If things aren't going right, that's fine. If you shout at your child and you didn't mean to, that's fine. You know, it's only human. But we still, for some reason, get pulled in. And I think it's just because we're surrounded by it. And like you said, the negative thoughts seep in a lot quicker than the positive. So you have to be very careful as to what you tune into and what you don't. And so I don't watch the news at all. I know that's not social media, but it's media of another kind. And I don't watch the news at all. Lisa tells me, my business partner tells me, if there's anything important that's relevant to life or our business, then she'll tell me. But I can't do it. I don't read the newspaper. So I think you have to be really careful what you tune into and don't get pulled into the wrong avenue of thought. Even if that's looking at someone that appears to have the most perfect life, the more you look at that, the more you then maybe probably look at you and think, oh, well, I haven't got that. Why haven't I got that? Does that mean that I'm a failure? Does that mean that I'm not working hard enough? It can be a really sort of dangerous road to go down, I think.
I think that's really true. And again, another thing, you know, habit to kind of take away, I suppose, what we're talking about, removing unhealthy habits as well as adding positive habits. But, you know, the amount of time it's so easy to spend on social media. And I know, yeah, you know, it's a truism. We talk about it all the time. And I'm not saying that social media is this terrible, terrible thing, because in a lot of ways social media is fantastic. I mean, a lot of the stories that we don't hear about, things that are going on in the world, terrible atrocities that we don't hear about unless we see them on social media, because they just don't get reported. So I think there's definitely a place for social media, and there's a place for, you know, sharing our stories and making people feel like they're not the only ones, you know, yeah, in the world that are dealing with things. But at the same time, if it's, you know, it is a habit for us to go to that place to get us distracted away from something that we might not want to do, or just to waste 5 minutes that becomes 40 minutes, you know, and it that's not productive in our day. So, and that's a really good point you've made about being mindful what you tune into, because, you know, what you what you kind of look at, what you absorb, does then tend to have an impact on you. And
yeah, well, set filters and set timers, or time block your time on social media if you can't resist, because none of us can resist. We love a little bit of social media. You know, to time block that, or put some filters in, or set what you do want to hear from the news. You know, I think you can do that on Google, can't you, through your Gmail account. You can have notifications on the news that you want to listen to or hear about. You just have to be very controlled, don't you? You have to be strict on yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's so true, you know. And you brought me onto something just talking about that time blocking. One of the things that I know that you were implemented yourselves in your business, and also, you know, in your lives, was this kind of whole idea of time blocking. So talk to us a little bit about that, because the whole kind of way that you changed the way you plan at work and at home, it was such a great transformation. I think it will really benefit people to hear about. You know, talk to us a little bit about what you used to do with lists and what you do now, because I think it is so useful.
Definitely. So we are eternally grateful, Michelle, for your guidance on this. And don't get me wrong, it's something that we have to, you know, put ourselves in check every so often and say, oh, we're doing it again. Lisa and I love a list. And what you highlighted to us was you can have lists, but there's no deadline on that list. And you can have lists for lists for lists. My dad loves a list. I think that's where I get it from. And sometimes those things don't get done, or you keep putting off one of those things on this. So first of all, with the planning, you're adding a deadline in, aren't you? So if I have a deadline, I work better with a deadline. I actually work better under pressure. So that's helping you out straight away, or helping Lisa and I out straight away. Everyone's different. But you're also, if you don't know how you're going to get to doing that task, or it seems too big and too intimidating, you have the power then to break it down. And you also can, this was a brilliant technique that you taught us, ask a question within that plan, like, how am I going to, I'm just trying to think of an example, say we were working on a marketing strategy. Now, to me, that's quite a big thing, because it doesn't come naturally as such, I need to plan something like that. So by incorporating a question into your plan, you're then opening up your mind to like, well, do I need to delegate this task? And if I want to get it done by this date, if I'm finding it too much, who can I ask to help me? And it just widens your outlook on everything, rather than putting that big thing off and off and off. I do still have lists sometimes at home, so I don't forget things. Sometimes in the office still, you know, because my memory is not great. I always think about all different things. And that's fine too, but I just think that a plan just helps you break things down differently and have a more professional approach. So it's made us more organised. We think about things differently, and it makes you feel like you're actually moving forward every day, every week, every month, every quarter. It forces you to sort of review. So whereas a list, you kind of tick it off, oh, done. And you don't actually monitor or sort of review. I don't find, maybe some people do, but Lisa and I found that we weren't at all. And there was no system. So it's definitely been a massive, massive help to incorporate that in.
And I just love this, because when you start to see these kind of habits, like, you know, the 4-step planning process and, you know, dreaming big and then breaking that down into a proper plan and then implementing it consistently and then reviewing where you are, it's just incredible what you can get done, you know, rather than kind of just a list of tasks that quite often just, and I'm exactly the same, kind of if I write a list, I'll quite often just move each task to the next day throughout the week. Busy, life's busy, you know, a lot of us now are getting to a situation where we've got younger children, but maybe older family members or other things that we have to get done in our lives, and it's very easy just to not get those things done. So I love how you combine that kind of 4-step planning process with the time blocking to make sure that you're getting those things done that you want to get done. And I know it's hard, and I know that you guys have struggled with it, but the fact that you know from where you were to where you are now, with, you know, a whole you know team of people that are working for you and starting to franchise your business, and such an amazing journey, and I love how you've used these kind of habits to help you progress. Tell us a bit about how you fit the planning, you know, into your routine with Lisa. How do you do that? Do you kind of do it monthly or weekly? Like, how do you make that habit consistent for you guys?
We have struggled up until now to be consistently in the office for one reason or another. So now we are in the office more. We sit down weekly and have a quick sort of check-in with each other that we're on track. But with regards to planning quarterly, then that's something we'll sort of sit down together before, well, perhaps review the last quarter and then plan for the next quarter. And then, like you said, we then break it down. So I feel like, and this happens, bear with me on this one, like if you're trying to be good with your diet or you're trying to get things done in the house, I think as long as you're conscious, and once you sow the seed and you start a habit or you start something that is part of the bigger plan and part of the bigger goal, it's like an addiction. You sort of think, I've got to get that done. So I think as long as you're conscious of it, if it shifts a day or two and you're not on schedule, or, you know, that's fine. Don't beat yourself up about that, because you've already incorporated that habit in. So you're already doing it, just perhaps a little bit off schedule, and that's fine. So I think you also need to be careful not to be too harsh on yourself, even though we need, Lisa and I need to sort of put each other in check every so often. Like you said, review, look at how far you've come and why it's working. And then, as I said, it becomes a little bit addictive then, doesn't it, to sort of keep up with the plan because you know it works.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not a huge fan of habit trackers. I know some people love habit trackers and they'll tick off every day when they've done their habits and they don't want to break that streak.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of those, just because I'm fully aware that life comes along and, you know, to, you know, life laughs at our plans. Let's face it, you know, you make a plan and life will just throw something at you that sends that plan awry. Oh, yeah. And we do have to struggle and make sure that we do focus back down on that. And but I think I've got to a stage now where having some more acceptance of things going slightly off track, and the fact that you can come back. And yes, you might have to, it might take you a little bit longer, but that doesn't mean you give up. You know, you can come back around. Life's always going to happen. So give yourself a little bit of space and grace. But as you say, and I love this about the two of you, is you kind of act like accountability partners for each other.
Yes.
And you hold each other accountable. And you're, to your point about, it's the same for any goal, whether you're trying to lose weight or start another habit, or maybe you want to start exercising for the first time, or you're starting a business or growing a business or whatever it might be. The fact that you have somebody there, an accountability partner, who, you know, you've got each other's backs, and, you know, you're able to kind of say to each other, right, did we do that? Right, let's get down to that. Because, you know, when you're on your own, it can be really hard. So, you know, I think that accountability, and as you say, being really conscious about it being a habit, you know, it's not a one and done. It's something that we're going to keep doing. We might miss a month, but we will come back to it because we know there is value there. And for me, I think that's the part you said about review being so important, because you cannot see the value unless you do the review. The review,
definitely.
You know, it's so important. I know when I'm at the moment, you know, I'm quite open about the fact that I've got a few health challenges, and so one of the things that I'm doubling down on is weight training. And so my coach is my accountability partner, and he, you know, keeps me on track. And the fact that when I have a session with him, I can review where I am at that point versus where I was, and we can do that review together, and I can see how far I've come. That is what keeps me going. Would you say that's true for you too?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I was thinking this earlier, actually. In preparation for the podcast, I was thinking we're ever so lucky to have each other. Because we do work very well together. Some people think we're sisters sometimes because we're so in sync. But if she's having a low day and not quite focusing, then I might pick us up and vice versa. And so I do take my hat off to people that are working solo on their business or single parents. You're doing an amazing job, and I think you can have accountability partners in other ways, like you said, with your trainer, in the Ultimate Mums Club community. I've actually changed it recently. It's mums in business supporting other mums, and vice versa, because they each promote their businesses. It may or may not help parents on their journey, but also their mums themselves. And I would say that if you're a business owner and you're working on your own like yourself, then find a fellow business owner that you get on really well with within these great communities that we have on social media, you know, or perhaps now in networking groups when now we're out and about. Find someone that you really connect with and have things in common with, or perhaps could collaborate with if that's an option, and use each other as accountability partners that way, because I do think you can slip into a negative state if you don't have the strength to work on your own personal growth, on your own, or you know, all of the things that we were talking about earlier. It's definitely a really powerful thing to have that accountability. And I do love Lisa for it. She puts up with a lot.
You guys are great together. And you're such a great example of that. And it is hard for people if they haven't got someone, you know, as you say, you haven't got someone there to be an accountability partner for you. But also I think you can, you know, if you're on your own and you don't have that, like you say, there's ways of finding people, but you know, I think also journaling is a great way to do that for yourself. You know, yes. Another great habit is maybe to do, and I do this, and my husband does this as well, actually. He writes a weekly journal, and once a week he goes to the page and he says, right, this is what's been going on. And then he looks back, and he has these journals going back for years. So he goes back and he'll come to me and he'll say, wow, did you know 5 years ago this week we were doing X, Y, and Z, and we were really struggling with this, and like, look at where we are now. And isn't that great that we overcame that, which is really, really great thing to do. And I love to journal as well in a slightly different way. But I think whatever it is that you have, that ability to be able to hold yourself accountable and to review where you are and to accept where you are as well. You know, we don't want to be beating ourselves up for this stuff. I think it's very easy to do that. And we don't want that negativity to creep in, but just something that allows you, it's like a measuring stick, isn't it? Some way of measuring where you are, because you can't really see how far you've come unless you know where you start from.
No, and I don't think you should be scared to look either. It's not natural to look backwards, like a lot of people say, don't they? All never look backwards, always look forwards. But it is a really good thing to look backwards, because you can do that review. I did it only the other day, and I was thinking, blimey, the business is like nearly 6 years old. I remember when it was just Lisa and I announced that I was pregnant. Lisa probably had a bit of a nervous breakdown thinking, how am I going to cover all these customers? And like, it was just her and I, and I think we had one member of staff. She stuck around until I had Seb, and then she left us. And now we've got 10 part-time staff. We've got a great team. You know, if you didn't look back at that and think, oh, wow. Yeah, how did I feel then and how do I feel now? Don't get me wrong, it comes with its different stresses. It comes with its different challenges. Mm. You know, staff off sick or on holiday, whatever it may be, how are we going to cover those customers? But it's such a great place to be in, because it shows that we have grown and we've grown with it. And I'm sure we'll have more challenges and things to overcome in the future. But if you look back, you can almost go, well, we've got this far, then how much further can we go?
Such a great positive way of thinking as well. You're really showing your glass half full. I love that. Let's talk just briefly a little bit about time blocking, because I know we just raised it really quickly just earlier, but just in case anyone listening doesn't know what time blocking is or how it can be used, can you just explain to us a bit about time blocking and how you use it?
So this is something that I've recently changed, because I am a bit of a stationery girl and I do love, you know, a new book to write in or a new diary. Yes, love a bit of stationery. Lisa and I have that in common. We have to like keep ourselves under control. So I've recently sort of reviewed that perhaps electronic is the way forward for me, because we're actually doing it in the business as well. We're looking at a system that will help us schedule the customers and things like that, because then it's less work in a way. And I found that time blocking in a diary wasn't working, because I busied it up with other things, just sort of appointments and things I needed to remember, rather than blocking the time out for different things to do. So then I bought an actual time blocking diary with all the times in, and I was like, right, okay, this is going to work. And I was almost a little bit scared of it. So now what I try and do is sort of schedule within my phone, because we all have our phone on us a lot. I do still use paper format sometimes, and this is where the transition's happening at the minute, because I realise something will get missed if I don't have it all in one place. But for me, it's like it stops me from going off plan, and it's off piece, shall we say, and keeping to a schedule for my working day or for my family day. It might just be that we're sort of spending time together as a family that day, and there's certain things that we need to do or want to do, because I do flit off and I get overexcited about something, or I get distracted by the washing up or the washing. So I try now to sort of, you know, dedicate an hour to, right, let's just blitz the kitchen, get that done, and then I'm going to spend an hour on recruitment, you know, adverts, or, you know, whatever may need to be done that day. So it is quite a hard thing to master, I feel, and I'm not sure I've quite mastered it yet, But what I have realised is that when I do stick to the time blocking and I am strict on myself, I'm not only more productive, but I feel more positive because I feel like, I have achieved more. So it just makes me feel a lot lighter, and happier to approach the next thing or the next challenge or whatever it may be. If you don't have some kind of time blocking system, then it doesn't matter. Everyone's different, but I do feel like if you have one, then you will definitely see the difference and, reap the rewards for the productivity, most definitely. I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it. I do need to remind myself, a bit like the planning, Michelle, I need to say, right, when you do this, it works, Lucy. Come on. I'm going to try and go electronic on everything so that I don't miss anything. I missed an appointment the other week and I was like, Lucy, it's because you didn't time block properly. I get frustrated. So I know it works.
But it is hard to we can talk a little bit about, creating habits. Creating habits is difficult. You're basically trying to reprogram the way that you do something. And it's hard. I find it challenging when I want to start a new habit because, we get so comfortable in the way that we live. And there's a reason for that. Our brains are designed to make life easier for our brain. So, literally we slip into old habits because our brain kind of goes into automatic programming. And we had to have that automatic programming created. Otherwise, we'd go mad with thinking about every little thing that we do all the time, thinking about how to walk, thinking about what you have to do before you speak, thinking about, how do I open a drawer and close it again? All these little things that we take for granted. But when we were children, we're babies, we had to consciously think about all those different steps that we had to perform. True. Like I always go to the toothbrushing one, and a lot of people do. When we're kids, we have to think, right, I have to get the toothbrush, I have to put the toothpaste on the toothbrush, I have to, and then I have to brush this way and that way and blah, and it's a whole rigmarole that we have to learn how to do. And now, most of us brush our teeth while we're thinking about what we're going to be doing later in the day or what shopping we need to buy or any number of different things. We don't actually have to think about it at all. It's the same with driving. I remember when I was learning how to drive, I thought there was no way I would ever be able to master all the different things that you had to do with your hands and your legs at the same time. I just couldn't figure out how I would ever do it. And yet we do. It's not like it's, there's so many millions of us driving, that it just shows that we can train our brains to do a complicated set of instructions and it can become a habit that we don't have to think about, but we do have to work at it and we do have to practice it. The only way these things become habits is because we practice them again and again and again, so that neurologically, our brain creates that pathway, and the deeper the pathway, the more unlikely we are to break out of it and go back to old habits. Because what I've learned, the things that we've done in our lives, the habits that we've had, they create those pathways don't go away. So those negative habits, those pathways are still there, and if we don't create a deep enough pathway with our new habits, our brain will go back to the old habits because it's easy. Our brains just want to go to whatever is easy. So you're so right. It's about, practicing and doubling down on that stuff and just making sure we do it day in, day out. But to your point about time blocking, I think it's vital. I really do. I think it's particularly for, those of us, for parents or for working moms or working dads, time blocking the time that you have for specific tasks to get done, it's almost like a way of creating our own deadlines, even if there isn't a deadline, isn't it? Saying, definitely. Right, I've only got an hour to do this. And I've only got that hour, so I'm going to get it as much as I can done in that hour, and kind of stopping at the end of that hour so that tasks don't drift off, into family time or drift off into a break time where we say we're going to take a little bit of downtime, because that's so important too, isn't it? And I'm definitely sure that's something that you discuss with the mums in your group. I mean, is that something, is that a hard habit that people struggle with, making time for themselves?
It definitely is. As a mum, I think I've got better at this, and sometimes I still sort of think about it, but I quickly correct myself. You do feel guilty when you do something for you, and you feel guilty even when they're with a childminder or at school that you might be doing something for you. And I know why that is, I suppose, because we just spend so much time looking after this small person or these small people that you feel like you should be dedicating all of your time to them. But it all goes hand in hand, because if you use the time blocking, for instance, in the planning, and you're more productive during the day, then that then means that you can spend more time with your children when they're at home, more quality time, because you've been more productive. That then will mean that you feel less guilty, because you've had your fix together, so to speak, and you've spent some quality time together. And then that means then that hopefully eventually the guilt will start to dissipate, because you are using your time wisely. You're using your time a lot better with the time blocking and the planning. But I do think as well, like we said earlier, you can't put yourself under too much pressure. You know, sometimes Seb will come home from school and he's really tired, or wherever he's been, and I'll be tying up a few phone calls for work because I've maybe not got a chance to call them during the day. And for a moment, sometimes I feel a bit guilty about that. And then I think to myself, well, he's had a long day. He's happy resting. He doesn't really want to be going out and about. He's happy just having his tea and spending time in his own company, not always. So it's a really tough nut to crack, but my biggest piece of advice to any parent, any mum, is please don't put yourself under too much pressure, and don't feel guilty about spending time on yourself. When you spend time on yourself, you become a better version of yourself. So therefore, it's not time wasted, and it's not time that you should feel guilty about, in my opinion.
Oh, so true. I love that. When you spend time on yourself, it's definitely not wasted. It does definitely make you a better version of yourself. So I think that's such a wonderful thing. And just to finish off, you know, that whole positivity vibe, just tell us a little bit about your favorite habit, because I know this is something that you've shared with me before, but it's one of my favorites too. So I just want you to tell us a bit about what your favorite habit is and why.
Well, you can probably hear it in my voice, like, just as you're saying that, I'm already smiling. I love this habit, because not only is it an easy habit, some may disagree, you know, because occasionally there are times when you feel really low and you really don't want to smile. But like you said in your first book, Michelle, when you smile, it changes the messages in your brain and it makes you feel more positive, and it does help you. It's been scientifically proven. So why wouldn't you do it? I love smiling, and I've experimented with this on and off, especially since it was highlighted when I read your first book, Michelle. And I now, when I go on a school run, some mornings I'm in the zone, and I think to myself, like, I'm thinking, right, I need to go home and, you know, look at the diary, what have I organised for today, blah, 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 and I drift off into a parallel universe. But generally speaking, I try and walk along and just enjoy the walk, and you see another parent come towards you, or it could be just a random person. They're not dropping the kids off at school at all. It's just someone doing their shopping or what have you. And if they look a bit low, you just simply smile and say, good morning. And 9 times out of 10, that person does pick up and they smile back and go, oh, good morning. And sometimes you get into a conversation with them, sometimes you don't. And I just think that's such a powerful thing that it's so simple. And can be achieved every single day in what you do. I have always been quite a smiley person. My mum and dad might disagree with you, because my nickname was Kevin when I was younger. As in Kevin and Perry, teenage years. But I've always been quite a smiley person. So perhaps it's already a habit that was already ingrained, but I have experimented with it since it's been brought to my attention that it's such a powerful habit to have. And yeah, it's quite interesting, you know, to see the effects of just a simple smile. I love it.
I love that, because it is so interesting, and I love the, you know, the study that was done about the difference between adults smiling and children smiling. And it's so true. If you go to a playground and you've watched kids, they're just all smiling at each other, you know, most of the time, like, especially young kids. You know, they spend so much of their time smiling. And then as adults, we spend so little time smiling. Yeah. And you've got to wonder why, you know, why adults are, you know, struggle so much. And kids are generally, it is a generalization, but kids generally can pick themselves up quite easily. You know, they're quite resilient. They're more resilient than we give them credit for, actually. So I just love that. And I think it's a great way to end is on that positive habit of smiling as much as you can, even definitely. If you're feeling a bit down. It does kind of get those endorphins going in the brain, and it can help to give you a little bit of a lift, especially if you share that smile with someone else. Absolutely, it's mirrored back.
Less frown marks as well, Michelle. So
absolutely, I'm 100% for that. Something that I'm focusing on very much at the moment is trying to reduce some of those lines that are creeping in. Lucy, are there any tips, just to finish off, are there any tips that you kind of want to share with people about, you know, creating habits, healthy habits in your life? Any kind of tips that you'd like to finish on?
I would just say it's quite a broad tip, but I think if anyone is sort of on the fence and thinking, you know, how on earth are changing a few habits in my life going to transform my life? I just think, what have you got to lose? If you are in a low point in your life, or you are feeling negative, or you're just restarting, we all hit those brick walls sometimes. You know, we're only human. And like you said earlier, life throws a curveball at you, you know, and anything can happen. But I just think, what have you got to lose? If you've got that opportunity there, and I often say this to my other half, because he might moan about work or moan that he, you know, he's got too much to do. And I'm like, why don't you sit down and plan? Why don't you try that? Why don't you, in fact, I think I offered him, you know, to help him and showed him our planning that we learned through you, Michelle. And he's like, oh, I don't know, I've got to have a word. And I just think, oh, why wouldn't you? If it's going to put a more positive, or have more of a positive effect on your life, and that in turn, or you've got the chance to, and you're not too sure if it's going to work, why wouldn't you try? So I think if you are hesitant, just take the leap, change maybe one or two small habits. You don't have to change everything at once, but just do a little review of your life, your situation, whether it be in your personal life or your business. Whatever it is that you're sort of, you know, not happy with, have a little review and see what habits you can incorporate in, and start with the small ones maybe, and just see how you feel once you start. Don't be afraid, just take the leap.
I think that is so powerful. I love that so much. What have you got to lose? Such a great way to end. Lucy, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you? Give us all of those details.
Okay, so we do have a Facebook page for Any Little Thing, which is literally Any Little Thing Limited. We also have an Instagram page, but we're sort of trying not to get too too involved in scheduling for both at the minute. So Instagram is a bit on the side. Same again, Any Little Thing Limited. And then we've got our website, which is www.anylittlething.co.uk. And the Ultimate Mums Club is on Facebook and on Instagram. And it's called the Ultimate Mums Club. Mums in Business, supporting other mums and vice versa. So you can find me in any of those places. And obviously you can listen to the podcast. And I'd love to see you in all of those places.
Amazing. That's fantastic. I will make sure all of those links are in the show notes as always, guys, and you'll find the links to those on my website. In the meantime, Lucy, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle.
That's it for today's show. And as I mentioned earlier, you'll find all the links at michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. And hey, if you did enjoy this episode, would you do me a favour? Would you head over to iTunes and leave me a comment and a review? It really does mean that others will be able to find the show. Okay, that's it from me today. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.